Hello, everybody. With Bob Christopher and Richard Piper, I'm Bob Davis, and this is Basic Gospel, a media ministry dedicated to helping you hear, believe, and live the good news of Jesus Christ. We would like for you to be a part of this edition. If it's the top of the hour, 3 o'clock Central Time, you're hearing the live program, and you can call right now and speak directly with us at 844-322-2742. That, of course, good in the U.S. and in Canada. 844-322-2742. It's Basic Gospel, everybody, and here's Bob Christopher.
Well, thanks, Bob. Here's what Paul wrote in his letter to Titus. He says this in chapter 2, verse 11, "For the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation for all people, training us to renounce ungodliness and worldly passions and to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in the present age, waiting for our blessed hope, the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us to redeem us from all lawlessness and to purify for himself a people for his own possession who are zealous for good works." Now, we talk about the grace of God in terms of salvation. We know, everyone knows who's a believer in Christ, that they were saved by grace through faith in Jesus. Now, most folks, the vast majority of believers and the vast majority of teaching that's out there just relegates grace to that salvation moment. Mm-hmm. Once a person's saved, then it's a whole different program that goes into place. Yeah. Well, here, Paul is saying, no, there's no new program. It's grace at the beginning, grace in the middle, grace at the end. Once the grace of God starts in a person's life, it never quits. So we're worried about sin. We're worried about how we live a holy life. We're worried about how we rise above the temptations of this world. We're not sure grace is the way, so we go back to rules, to regulations, to principles, to laws, trying to overcome sin. Well, here, Paul says very clearly, and I think we need to get this into our minds, into our heads, to really think about what this verse is saying to us, that if we want to live godly, upright lives in this present generation, there's only one way to do that, and that's the grace of God. It's the grace of God that saves. It's the grace of God that empowers us to live as children of God in this present age. So we've got to recognize that it is truly grace alone in all aspects of the Christian life, not only salvation, but in our everyday walk with Jesus Christ. If we're going to be able to say no to sin, no to the temptations of this world, the grace of God is going to have to power us through that. If we're going to learn how to extend righteousness and goodness to people around us, we're going to have to rely on the grace of God to do that in and through us. There's no other way. It truly is grace alone, isn't it, Richard?
Yeah. When I was looking at this passage a couple of weeks ago before we did the video, it struck me, when you look at all of this description of what grace does, I mean, grace is powerful. It has intelligence. It's active in that it initiates to us rather than passive, waiting for us to do something. It communicates with us. It gives us a sense of the imminence of Jesus' return. And perhaps most importantly, grace is personal. Well, there's only one place in the whole universe where all these things come together, and that's in Jesus Christ himself. Grace is Jesus.
Yes.
So I'm saved by Jesus. Oh, boy, he died and he raised from the dead. But every step along the way is Jesus or it's nothing.
Yes, and he ascended to the right hand of God, mm-hmm. the Father, but he sent his Spirit to live,
yes.
in us. So in essence, it's Christ in us, our hope of glory.
Yeah.
So if grace is Jesus, Jesus did his thing 2,000 years ago, but he's alive today,
yes.
and he's present within us. So we can trust him. And see, that's what this life is all about as far as our role, our responsibility. It's a life of faith. We simply learn to trust Jesus.
Yeah.
We have this living and unshakable confidence, as Martin Luther said, in the grace of God to do its work in us, not only in salvation, but in everyday life. And I love the very last part of this passage in Titus 2, verses 11 through 14. It says, "Who gave himself for us to redeem us from all lawlessness and to purify for himself a people for his own possession who are zealous or eager for good works."
Yes.
So we see the opposite end of things. When we were lost, when we were dead, we followed the patterns of this world. We live to gratify the desires of the flesh. So we were selfish human beings. It's the grace of God that moves us to the very opposite end of that spectrum, where we're now eager to do good for others. So we let go of our selfishness and grab a hold of selflessness. We're thinking more highly about others, and we're living to carry out the will of God, and that's to love others as God in Christ has loved us. And the grace of God is what moves us there.
Absolutely. Good stuff, guys. Thank you. And this, of course, is Basic Gospel, everybody. Bob Christopher, Richard Piper. I'm Bob Davis. I'm glad that you've joined us today. We'd love for you to join us by phone if you're hearing the broadcast in the first half of the 3 o'clock Central Time hour. 844-322-2742 is the number to dial in the U.S. and in Canada. 844-322-2742. And as we mentioned earlier this week, this Sunday is Bob Christopher's birthday. And in honor of the occasion, we're asking all of our friends, as Bob likes to say in Basic Gospel Nation, to help celebrate the occasion by putting a copy of Simple Gospel, Simply Grace into the hands of someone you know, someone in your own home, perhaps, at your office or school or in your community. You know, so many people have yet to hear the good news. And you can help honor Bob's heartfelt birthday wish, not for himself, but for others, by getting one or more copies of Simple Gospel, Simply Grace and putting it or them into the hands of others who need to hear. You can order one or multiple copies at a specially reduced price. And just for this event, of course, click Simple Gospel, Simply Grace. That's a big link right on the homepage at basicgospel.net. And join us in honoring Bob's birthday wish. Again, Simple Gospel, Simply Grace, and the website basicgospel.net. As I said, there's a great big link right on the homepage, and you can access it right there. Take advantage of it, friends, and help us to honor Bob Christopher's birthday.
Well, I bought 10 copies of it today myself. We're having some folks come and visit with us, or we're going to have a chance to visit with some people, and we're going to put a number of those books in a number of people's hands this weekend.
Yeah, I'll do that myself.
We want Basic Gospel Nation.
Yeah.
And here's the thing, that God has pulled together a group of people through this radio broadcast, through the various internet platforms that we have, who are all connected in this new covenant in which we live, tied together by the very love of Jesus Christ that he showed us, that he demonstrated to us through his death, burial, and resurrection. That's what ties us together as Basic Gospel Nation. Let's extend kind of the borders of that nation, so to speak. Yeah. Let's reach out to more and more people. So if everybody in Basic Gospel Nation bought one copy, you know, that's going to be several thousand copies and gave it away. I mean, we're multiplying this message around the world. That's exciting.
Yes, it is.
That is so exciting, and it's very simple. It's not offensive. You have this book in your hand and you say, "Here's a book that's really ministered to me, and I would love for you to read it." It's that simple.
Yeah.
And then you leave the results of that in God's hands. Maybe somebody will read it right then and there. Maybe it'll take 6 months or a year before they actually pick it up. But we'll trust and pray that God will use that story in their lives. It will really pique their curiosity to know more about Jesus, to find out really what this gospel is all about, and really discover what it means to be a child of God. And if they're not saved, if they're still dead in trespasses and sins, we pray that God will use this book to help point them to Christ and to faith in Christ so that they can come alive, so that they can be made alive in Christ Jesus. So let's not just think of this as, "Oh, that's a nice little sentiment." Let's really get behind this and spread the good news of Jesus Christ. That's what it's all about.
Yeah.
I said yesterday that as far as the proceeds from the sale of these books. No one's going to benefit personally from that. Those dollars aren't going in my pocket. Those dollars will be used by the ministry to pay airtime, to extend the reach through the various platforms that we have. So it's a win-win situation. If you know somebody that needs to know Jesus, if you know somebody that's a believer already but is frustrated, it's struggling, that is under the burden of guilt and shame, buy a copy of this book.
Yeah.
Be a blessing in their life by pointing them to Jesus Christ.
I love the fact that you're not asking for yourself, but you're asking for others who need to hear of the love and grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. I do hope, however, that you get cake and ice cream.
Well, I think maybe I'll do that.
All right.
Okay. Well, let's go up and talk to our friend Ryan in Canada. Hi, Ryan.
Hey, guys. How are you doing today?
We're doing great. How are you doing, my friend?
I'm doing all right. I was reading a book by Jerry Bridges. I think it was called Transforming Grace, and it was going well. And I, Siri was reading it to me, and he said something that really was like, I felt like we hit a speed bump, or maybe more like a brick wall. He said, "We've not been freed from the law as God's will for daily living." As an expression of God's will for our daily life. And he said basically New Testament and Old Testament have the same morals. That way, basically, he said in Deuteronomy 22:8 that you need to build a little small fence around your roof, so that way if someone falls off, they won't fall off and there won't be blood guilt on you. And he said, well, that's why work safety is so important. And as a Christian, you know, we need to basically have some sort of a relationship with this because of, I don't know. So my question is, what, I know that we're, you know, dead to the law and everything else, but in Christ fulfilled the law. What I think he was saying, God's moral law, meaning the Ten Commandments. What type of relationship should a believer have with the Ten Commandments?
None whatsoever. And those who are saying that we should have not read the New Testament. And it's not like when we come to faith in Jesus Christ, we're without law, and that's the big fear, that you're just saying go out and do anything you want. No, we're saying learn to walk by faith in Jesus Christ. He's alive, living in you, and as you trust Jesus, then you will express the fruit of his life out there in the world, to which the law has nothing to say. So the law is kind of the negative side of things. It's the do nots, and when we try to live up to it, the law speaks to us. And the language of the law is a language of judgment. It's a language of condemnation. It's a language of death. And Paul talks about that in 2 Corinthians chapter 3. He tells us what the ministry of the law was all about. It was to show us our need for Jesus Christ. But once it's done that, its purpose has been fulfilled. So the writer of Hebrews says it's been set aside. Well, now, who set it aside? God set it aside. Why? Because he has something better for us. And that something better for us is the person of Jesus Christ alive, living in us. Now, if we need something beyond Jesus, then we don't know Jesus.
Yeah.
If we need something beyond a life of faith in Jesus, then what we're saying is that we're not convinced that Jesus is enough. And what Jesus is going to say to us is, you of little faith. Mm-hmm. You've just totally missed the whole storyline. You've totally missed what the end solution is. So, no, we're not to have a relationship with the law. We're to have a relationship with Jesus.
Yeah.
Now, what's the fruit of Jesus's life in us? The very first thing that Paul mentions in Galatians 5, the fruit of the Spirit is love. Well, love can only come from the Holy Spirit working in and through us.
In his case was also that Paul referred back to, I guess, the Ten Commandments in the one of his letters.
So that's, well, here's the deal. If I'm walking by faith in Jesus, I'm not involved in idolatry. So what's Jesus interested in? Telling me not to worship idols, or is he interested in telling me how to walk by faith in him? Well, he's interested in teaching me how to walk by faith in him. He's talked about a Sabbath rest, that we're to keep the seventh day holy. Well, that's just a shadow of the eternal rest that we have through faith in Jesus, resting in his finished work, resting in the fact that we're forgiven. Now, what is Jesus interested in? Us resting in his finished work. We see all the different things to not covet our neighbor's wife and that sort of stuff. Well, what does Jesus teach us? He teaches us how to love our wives as Christ loved the church. The law cannot do that. The law says don't steal. Well, I cannot steal from my neighbor but hate their guts. The Lord Jesus teaches me how to love my neighbor and actually roll up my sleeves and get involved in his life and help meet his needs as they come about. The law cannot teach that. So the law just, if you try to live up to the law, and this is for an unbeliever and a believer, the law is always going to speak judgment and condemnation into your life. And then you're going to start thinking, God hates me. God is mad at me. God is disappointed with me. God is so disgusted with me. Leave the law where it belongs and come alive to Jesus. That's who you belong to. That's who you're married to. Trust him. Walk by faith in him. The Christian life is a life of faith. And that life of faith is expressed in love to others. So don't let anybody try to reconnect you to something that Jesus has already fulfilled and already set aside.
Discernment flag went up when I read that.
Yeah,
for good reason.
Yeah. There's no need to hang around with the servant in the house. That's what the writer of Hebrews called Moses. He's just a servant in the house. No need to mess around with the servant when you know the owner and the builder.
Yeah.
And that owner and builder is Jesus Christ himself. So stick with Christ. Learn to walk by faith in him. That's what it's all about.
I was reading this morning 1 Timothy 1, 9 and 10, and it says, we also know that the law is made not for the righteous, but for lawbreakers and rebels, for the ungodly and sinful, for the unholy and irreligious, for those who killed their fathers and mothers, for murderers, for the sexually immoral, and for practicing homosexuality, for slave traders and liars and perjurers, and for whatever is contrary to sound doctrine. So it sounds pretty much like a believer is not a part of that.
Right.
And the law is not written to the righteous, but the unrighteous.
Right. Here's the
deal, and
Ryan, I'm going to say this to all of our listeners. Do we believe that Jesus can produce the life that he desires in and through us? Do we have that boldness and that confidence to rest everything that we are on him and in him? If he can't make us eager to do good, if he can't teach us how to walk down the paths of righteousness, we have no hope. We have none. Zero. Yeah. Zip. Zilch.
Period. End of story.
So
you say.
we have to come to that point and realize it's Jesus or it's nothing.
Well, as I've said before on the broadcast, I have Jesus and I have no plan B.
Yes.
Yeah.
And he has no plan B either.
No.
Because he knows he's sufficient.
Yeah.
He really does know he's sufficient. I mean, he kicked death right in the butt. I mean, he came out of that grave. Well, if he has power over death, if God has power over death, then he can produce life in and through me.
Yeah.
And I'm going to trust him to do that. It's just that simple. And here's history. Here's what history tells us, that every time this focus, this enormous concentration on the grace of God starts to happen, and we start to believe that it really is Jesus, the world changes. We saw that in the Protestant Reformation 500 years ago, the Enlightenment Age, just a couple hundred years after that. We've seen it, before in various places. We saw it when the apostles focused singularly on the grace of God revealed in the person of Jesus Christ. As it said, they turned the world upside down. So we've got to realize it's Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. So, Ryan, thanks for your call today, and love that you're listening to the Holy Spirit in you. Good for you, my friend.
Yeah, thanks, Ryan. Really appreciate it. Guys, quickly, a question from Jay in Grosse Pointe Farms, Michigan. In a recent broadcast, Richard made the statement that in Christ was a location. Can you please elaborate on that?
It's a good good question.
I'm trying to remember what context I sent that in.
Okay, Jay.
Yeah. In Christ is not a description of a lifestyle. It's not a description of a way of life or a belief system. It's a literal description of being in him. And it's described in the New Testament as he is in us and we are in him. And that's this challenge that you just made. Let's come to Jesus and accept him for who he is, who he claimed to be, what he's able to accomplish, and allow him to do that. Because when he's in me, working all that stuff from the inside out, when it's displayed through me, then that's a demonstration that I'm in him. In that sense, it's in a location. It's in a person, far more than just a building. It's a person. And we've got to stop calling God a liar with regard to salvation and forgiveness and eternal life.
Yes.
It's time to take him at his word, say thank you, and let him do what only he can do.
And when you're in Christ, you're under grace.
Under grace, completely.
When you were in Adam, you were under law.
Yes.
Okay?
Couldn't be any other way.
And when you were under law, sin was your master. Okay? And so law kept us bound, in prison, locked up. But now in Christ, we've been set free. We've been released. And now we're under grace. Now, you either believe that or you don't. And I'm challenging our listeners to believe it.
Yes.
And you're going to hear time and time again that you need to follow those Ten Commandments. You need to live up to those Ten Commandments. I guarantee you, if you believe that, you're going to be a frustrated individual, because at the end of every day, all you can say, Lord, I blew it.
Yeah.
I blew it. Maybe I didn't blow it with physical actions, but I sure blew it inside.
Yeah.
My flesh just did not live up to those righteous requirements. Mm-hmm. But thank goodness that Jesus did.
Yeah.
And so when we come to faith in him, the righteous requirements of the law have been met in us. You know, those commandments boil down to love the Lord your God and love your neighbor. Now, they couldn't do it.
Yeah.
And that's why God sent Jesus, so that we could love.
Absolutely.
That's the good news
of
the gospel.
That is great news. Thanks, Bob. Well, Bob Christopher's birthday is this Sunday, October 15th, and his birthday wishes for everyone in Basic Gospel Nation to buy a copy of Simple Gospel, Simply Grace and give them to someone you know. Others need to hear of the love and grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. So just click Simple Gospel, Simply Grace, that link at basicgospel.net. And then we want to hear how you use the book to share Jesus. So send an email to Bob at basicgospel.net and let us know how that worked out for you. Again, Simple Gospel, Simply Grace, and click that link at basicgospel.net. Well, that's it for this edition, everybody. Thanks for being with us. Now, for Bob Christopher, Richard Piper, and all the ministry team, I'm Bob Davis saying God bless you and have a great weekend in the Lord Jesus Christ. See you on Monday. Bye-bye.